We want to thank you for joining us again this evening. That sounds like it's got too much echo, so I'm going to move it down. If you will, open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to notice what Peter in his inspired writing tells us here. He says, beginning in verse 14 of 2 Peter chapter 3, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. Therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever." So we want to talk about growth this morning. Peter says here to grow in the grace and knowledge. And what he's telling us here is that this produces a steadfastness. So if each one of us want to grow and want the congregation here to grow, then what we need to do is grow in this grace and knowledge and to produce that steadfastness. And that what that does is it's a hedge around us to prevent us from falling away into error. That's what he says here in verses 17 and 18. But I want to suggest to you, when we talk about growth, that it is necessary for our steadfastness. That's what Peter talks about here. It means that we've got to keep on growing. For example, a lot of times when people are baptized, they think, well, I've got my ticket punched and that's all I've got to do. Peter here tells us to continue to grow in knowledge and keep that steadfastness. You don't just eat one meal and then think that your body's going to have enough nourishment. No, you have to continue to feed that body. But we must continually advance in the faith and persevere to avoid that stumbling and falling into error. Now, what does it mean to grow? Well, the dictionary says it means to enlarge or to increase in the image and favor of our God here in this particular passage, and that's according to Adam Clark. It means here to grow in grace, as Peter talks about. And the Greek word here means to have this favor that's freely given. It's a loving kindness. It is a gift that we receive from God. So we must grow in that grace and knowledge. But it means something else also. In John 1, verses 16 and 17, it talks about here that we're growing in what we have received from Christ Jesus. Also, it means in Romans 5 and verse 2 that we stand in this grace. And also, we are not receiving this in vain, according to what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1. And Paul told the young preacher Timothy in the second letter in chapter 2 and verse 1 to be strong in grace. The principle here is that if we're going to be stewards of God's Word, then we are to be stewards of God's grace. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10 says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Manifold grace of God. Here we are to be good stewards of what God has given us. We are taught in Acts chapter 13 and verse 43 to continue in the grace of God. And having received that grace, the question then is, how do we grow in that grace? And that is, how do we develop and enlarge this grace within us in a precious or gracious character and therefore in God's favor? So as we look at 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, we want to look at the fact that we are to grow in grace by growing in knowledge. Peter says here in verse 18 that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, to grow in knowledge, that is a knowledge of Jesus, and that is essential for us to grow in grace. Peter talks about this also in the first chapter of 2 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 2, and 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3. We are to grow. We are, to get your secular education, used to it was only 12 years. Now it's 13 years, and then you add preschool and pre-preschool and daycare and all these things, and you're getting that education even earlier and earlier. And then if you go further, you've got at least 2 years, so there's 17, 18 years of education, and if you go farther than that, you've got two more years added on to that. If you go farther than that, you've got your whole youth and part of your adulthood spent in gaining knowledge of what you want to be as a professional when you grow up. So how much knowledge are we gaining in learning about Jesus? This is something that's going to be more than just our lifetime. It's going to be eternity. How much are we learning? This knowledge of Jesus is essential. We must know Jesus. And God's grace teaches us, as we see in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. What he's telling us here is that we are to obey the instruction of God's Word. And that's how we increase in God's grace. And we do that to avoid error. We are established in grace, Hebrews 13 and verse 9. So if I want to learn how to avoid sin, the best place I can go is to the Word of God and get a knowledge of Jesus. Knowing truth, the absolute truth, and then obeying it. That builds up and secures our heavenly place, Acts 20 and verse 32. So what we want to do is learn from Peter here that we are to grow in grace and knowledge. And we grow in this grace by growing in knowledge. But I also want to suggest to you that we grow in grace by a genuine love of Christ. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, "You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." We must be trained, and we must train our children on what it means to receive this grace. Now, when we talk about the means of receiving this grace, we do that from the Word of God. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now see, this goes along with everything else that we've talked about in the last few sermons, that when it comes to serving Jesus, it's not anything difficult. Jesus just says here, "If you love me, keep my commandments." First John 5 tells us that his commandments are not burdensome, they're not grievous. Jesus is not going to tell you or demand anything of you that you cannot do. So we must receive this grace. We go on here in John 14 and verse 21, and Jesus says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him," show myself to him. But notice he says in the first part, verse 21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them." How do you know that you have the commandments of Jesus? You grow in that knowledge. You grow in a genuine love of Christ. And he also says in verse 23 here that he answered, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So we see here that the means of receiving grace is by doing what Jesus said, simply obeying the Word of God. The Christian who lovingly obeys Christ has God's favor. That's what Jesus tells us here in these three verses. So we must obey from the heart as a slave of righteousness. Paul speaks of this in Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 18. That you choose. You make a choice who you're going to serve and be a slave to. And there's only two choices that we have in this world. You cannot straddle the fence. You must pick a side. You must choose who you're going to serve. Either Christ and righteousness or Satan and be a slave to sin. You must obey from the heart. But as we've noticed here, we are to grow in grace by growing in knowledge. Grow in grace by having a genuine love of Christ, but also we grow in grace by humbly eliminating sin from our lives. James tells us in James 4, in verses 5 and 8, "Do you think that the Scripture says in vain, 'The Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously'? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, 'God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.' Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." God gives grace to the humble here. That's what we see in verse 6. We have to humbly submit to God. Grace, growing in grace by growing in humility before God and stopping the sin that is in our lives. But also we see that grace will not abound where sin resides. So if you have sin in your life, well, guess what James is telling you here? You'll not have grace, the grace of God in your life if you are abiding in sin. That's what I said a moment ago. You cannot straddle the fence. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in serving God. It's got to be one or the other. You're either in all or you're not at all. You've got to grow. You've got to be humbly submitting to Christ and eliminating sin from your life. But grace will not abound where sin resides. We see in Romans chapter 6 in verses 1 and 2 where Paul, as he has a tendency to do, asks those rhetorical questions. He asks here in verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" That's the rhetorical question. You know the answer to that. No, certainly not, he says. "How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" Paul's saying what I just said. You cannot live with one foot in the world and one foot in the Lord. You have to be one, all in for one or the other. You cannot straddle the fence. You cannot continue to live with sin in your life so that grace may continue to abound. It's either one way or the other. And he went on to tell that same principle in verses 12 through 14 of this chapter. But also, we're to grow in grace by denying worldliness and living a godly life. Paul would write to young Titus in chapter 2 of that letter, and he talks about a sound church there. And in the context of that sound church, he says in verses 11 and 12, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." We've got to wake up. That's what Paul is saying here. Simply saying, you've got to wake up. You cannot go through life in a daze and not be growing in grace and knowledge. By going through life in a daze, which that's what he alludes to here, that we should live soberly, you've got to wake up. All of us need to wake up spiritually. We cannot go through our life in a spiritual daze. We must study. We must grow. We must make a diligent effort to grow. That's what Peter said in chapter 3 of our context in verse 14. We've got to be diligent. We've got to put a little effort into it. I mean, we put effort into going and taking care of our job that puts a paycheck in our bank account, don't we? At least a little bit of effort. But then, when it comes to serving the Lord, as I said a moment ago, we get baptized and we think, well, we've got our ticket punched. I'm just going to sit back and do what I feel like doing when I feel like doing it. Would your paycheck keep coming in if you had that attitude with your job? I'm going to do what I feel like doing when I feel like doing it. You might get by with that for a little while, but then I guarantee you, having worked in the secular world before, your boss is not going to tolerate that. And yet, amazingly, we think Christ will continue to tolerate that type of behavior. But we have to deny the world and grow in grace. So we've seen here from 2 Peter chapter 3 that we're to grow in grace by growing in knowledge, by having a genuine love of Christ, by humbly eliminating sin from our lives, but also we are to grow in grace by living a gracious life of service. Paul would write in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and hope, good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." We've got to be working in the kingdom. Too many times we have this attitude, well, I'll let brother so-and-so take care of that. I'll just wait. I'll just wait and let brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so take care of that. You know, if we take that attitude, then sometimes things may never get done because brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so may not be aware that it needs to be done, but you do. If you are aware of something that needs to be taken care of, then take care of it. We've got to be growing and establishing our hearts in every good word and good work. And we do this by serving others. You may have knowledge of someone that needs assistance. You may have knowledge of someone that just needs a prayer, a pat on the back, a hug, or what. And I know we can't hug right now. But you may know someone that is in need of a spiritual assistance. Take care of it. If you can't do it, then point someone else to their need. Because God's love gave us eternal comfort and hope through grace. And we're to grow in our grace by giving others our love, our comfort, and sharing our hope with them. We give them hope when we show that we care. We give them hope when we show that we love them. We imitate God's grace for us by freely giving and being gracious to others. Others should see God's grace in us. Paul told us in the Corinthian letter that we are to imitate Him as He imitates Christ. Now, I understand we can't be perfect and we're going to fail. We're going to stumble from time to time. But be that as it may, we ought to be doing our best to serve God first and then serving our brethren. In fact, Paul wrote to the Galatian brethren in chapter 6 and verse 10 that told us as we have opportunity to do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. But we do this also not only by serving others, but by using God's gracious speech. Ephesians 4 and verse 29, Colossians 4 and verse 6. We are giving grace by words that meet a need, or just simply edifying, building up, lifting up someone else. We grow in grace by developing and using speech that is kind, speech that is thoughtful, generous, helpful. We need to be doing the best that we can. You know, sometimes it doesn't necessarily that we're going to build someone up by patting them on the back. Sometimes it's just a kind word, a card in the mail. But it's also by a sacrificial, sincere giving on our part. Giving of ourselves to others. Paul wrote about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verses 1 and 2, and then again in verses 6 through 9. He talked here in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 8 that their singleness of heart was proof of God's grace at work in them. They were willing to sacrifice. They were willing to build each other up and have a sincere love of giving and taking care of their brothers in Christ. And Paul said that that was proof that God was working in them. In verses 6 through 9, he talked here that, like Christ, that we are to abound in sincere giving. He's not talking about what we give as a collection, but he's talking about in giving of our time and effort, love, and speech to one another. But also we do this by our worship of God. We give God honor and piety through worship. We notice the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 12 and verse 28, "Since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Every time we come together, when we assemble in the capacity that we are able to assemble in, it's not about you. It ain't about me. It's about serving God. And when we come together in any capacity, what we are doing is giving honor to God through our worship. Now, you're going to receive something from it. When all lift up their voices in praise, you receive something from that. You're edified. When someone offers a prayer before the service or at the end of the service or a special prayer or whatever, someone that may be sick, that's praising God, giving God thanks, but you receive a blessing from that. By singing with loving kindness toward God, your praise is heard and received. The Colossian letter tells us in chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart. You need to lift up your voice in praise every time the song leader leads. Because you're praising God. You're edifying one another. You're teaching one another in the words of the song. And true worship, a true worshiper that is, abounds in God's grace. Now, as we close out this lesson, again, Peter tells us in chapter 3 of the second letter, in verse 18, to continue to grow in grace. And we've noticed that we do this by continuing to grow in knowledge, by having a genuine love of Christ, by eliminating sin from our life and living a gracious life toward others in both our speech, in our giving, and our worship. And he closes out, or rather Paul says in Romans 16 and verse 20, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. If you're growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then Satan will not win. The congregation will grow. You will grow as an individual. But the first thing that Peter pointed out in verse 14 of our text is it takes diligence. It takes some work. Now I pray that you're willing to work to grow in the grace and knowledge of God's Word. If you're within the sound of my voice and you find yourself in need of responding to the invitation, whether you need to put Christ on in baptism or confess things that have been wrong in your life, or you may just need the prayers of the saints, feel free to contact me or one of the elders, and we'll assist you in any way that we can. Again, thank you for being with us tonight.